beautiful Him, powerful Him. Please that you would take your scripture and turn with me once again back to Exodus chapter 30. We have talked about we're going to begin reading with the 11th verse, about the beautiful steps in the tabernacle, how that there are seven steps. There are also seven pieces of furniture, and each of those pieces of furniture stand for the life of a believer. And the work and the time begins, first of all, as you come in, and again, this is the courtyard, we focus mostly upon the tabernacle itself, and we're going to be talking about the foundation that this building, and it's another picture of it down here that's enlarged, but we know that you have to come first by the brazen altar. Brass always stands for judgment. Kind of remember that as you're studying the scripture. And so this piece of furniture is brass. It's not very large, but all the offerings and sacrifices were there. And so we find there that is where the shedding of blood, and we could place a cross right there, because that's where the Lord Jesus has died on the cross for us, offered His life for ours, taken our sins away. So often, that is just the end when you come for a person's life. When you come by faith to the Lord Jesus, you trust in Him, your sins are forgiven, and that seems to be the end. It is not the end. It is the beginning. And we need to understand that is the very beginning of your life, because now for the first time you have went from being dead to be alive. And so you say, well, you're still breathing, but you don't realize that when you've got a new heart, and that's what happens the day that you trust in the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes to live within to guide you and direct you. Well, then we come and we come over and we enjoy the laver. It also is brass, and it is designed, has two levels, one at the feet and one above, to wash your hands, wash your feet. Well, what happens to us after we're born again, we're still in the flesh. We're still in the old body. We're still in the earth, the old dirty ground. And so what you see and what you hear, we need a cleansing, and we need that cleansing often. We need it every day, not something just to come on Sunday morning and I could wash your feet and wash your hands and say that you're okay. Now, we read concerning last week what Peter had to say. Peter said, I want you to wash me all over. And Jesus said, no, I just need to wash your feet, because you see, Peter was saved. He had already been cleansed. He already had a new heart. But because you walk in the earth and you get your feet dirty, you need that cleansing. You need that washing. And so that's the reason once you come to the cross of Calvary and you're saved, that's not the end. That's the beginning. Because then we come to this brazen laver, and it begins to make you more like Jesus. The more we enjoy His precious Word, the more things we look at in the Word of God, why, that brings us closer and closer to Him. And after that washing, and God is so good, because now, and so often, I've had folks tell me, and you probably have had the same thing, and that is that, well, I'm going to quit this, and then I'll be saved. As if they're a better person if they quit doing something. No, just trust in the Lord Jesus, have your sins forgiven, and then enjoy that wonderful walk, because then God does the cleaning, and He does it very gently. He doesn't, when you go to the laver, years and years ago, there was a person that was really burdened about smoking and just could not get victory over it. got victory over it. The Lord showed them, and they got victory over it. And then they woke up and says, oh my, I've got others trouble. I got other sins. They thought that was the only problem they had. Well, that's because the Lord had directed them on that and showed them that until they got victory. And that's the way the Lord does it. As you come to this laver, he'll show you something and says, you know what? This is something that God needs to deal with you on. And so once you have dealt with that, then he shows you something else that, okay, how about let's work on this? God is so good, and God is so gentle, and God is so loving in the way that he deals with us. But that's done here at the laver. And then after we enjoy that victory, then we can come into this room here, and we can enjoy the fellowship. And so we have the table of showbread. We feed upon his word. Once you've kind of dealt with some things in your life, then God opens it up and shows you what he wants you to learn and what you want to know. And so we enjoy that, and we have the beautiful light of the lampstand. Of course, that lampstand has oil in it, and the oil stands for the Holy Spirit. We're going to deal with all those things later. And then we come to the incense altar, and that's also known as a prayer altar. So once we have been to the cross, once God deals with us, begins to deal with us on things, and continues to do that all of our life, then we can come in and we feed upon the word and we learn and we just continue to grow. I was saved in 1975. Now let's kind of add that up. You know, this is 24, and so if I'm adding that correctly, that's almost 50 years, and I am still learning. And I'm still growing. And so don't think that it that you get to a point that okay, I know everything that God's going to teach me, because that's a bad day for you, the day that you think you've learned everything. We need to just continue each day. Because one thing we begin to do then, once we've fed upon the word, we begin to pray. We begin to fellowship with the Lord. And we do that through prayer. And the more that we pray, the closer we get unto the Lord. And so then through these prayers, and this is an incense altar, and that incense flows into the Holy of Holies. This is where God lives in the days of the tabernacle. And so it's the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And so our prayers are brought in, and it allows us to come right into the presence of God the Father. And so that's the life of a believer. It is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus. It's a beautiful picture of the life of a believer in the Lord Jesus. And so we need to see that. And so when we look at that then, we can look at these same things, and it is not only seven pieces of furniture, but the first, you could say, is our conversion. The second is the separation. The third is the Bible study. The fourth place is the lampstand, would be the testimony that we have, because we shine for the Lord Jesus, plus he shows us everything. The next item is the incense altar, the prayer altar, and then that brings us into full surrender and victory in the Lord Jesus. And so it's not only seven pieces of furniture, seven pictures of Christ, but then seven steps in our life as we walk through it. And so we need to really, really focus and learn that. And so I continue to go through this because it's so important that you all understand why that we're studying the tabernacle, and why that we spend so much time. We're in the book of Hebrews. But if you don't study the tabernacle and the laws and Leviticus and things, then you'll have no understanding of what is trying to be taught in Hebrews without understanding the tabernacle. So as we see that now, and as we come now to the place of reading the scripture, and then we'll begin with prayer, that was introduction. So we'll start here in just a little bit. And so, Exodus chapter 30, verse 11. Exodus 30:11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, When thou takest the sum of the children of Israel after their number, then shall they give every man a ransom for his soul unto the Lord. When thou numberest them, that there be no plague among them, when thou numberest them. This they shall give, every one that passeth among them that are numbered, a half a shekel after the shekel of the sanctuary. A shekel is 20 gerahs, and a half a shekel shall be the offering of the Lord. Every one that passeth among them that are numbered from the 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall give no more, shall not give more. The poor shall not give less than a half a shekel when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for their souls. Thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it to the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, that it may be a memorial unto the children of Israel before the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. Now, the reason that we wanted to read this, and let's go on now to chapter 38, Exodus 38. Verse 25. Exodus 38:25. The silver of them that were numbered of the congregation was 100 talents, and 1,730 shekels after the shekel of the sanctuary. A berkah of every man, that is, a half a shekel, after the shekel of the sanctuary, for every one that went in to be numbered from 20 years old and upward, for 600,000 and 3,550 men. Of the 100 talents of silver were cast the sockets of the sanctuary, and the sockets of the sanctuary, the sockets of the veil, 100 sockets of the 100 talents, a talent for a socket. And of the 1,775 shekels, he made hooks and pillars and overlaid their capiters and filleted them. And the brass of the offering was 70 talents and 2,400 shekels, and therewith he made the sockets to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the brazen altar and the brazen grates for it, and all the vessels of the altar. The sockets of the court round about, and the sockets of the court gate, and all the pins in the tabernacle, and all the pins round about. And so as we read now those two texts and hold your hand in both of them, let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you that we can come today and just enjoy this precious time. It's such a joy to look to your precious word and to read and to see this picture. And Father, it is so sad that so few folks know anything about the tabernacle. They know all about the law, a law we cannot keep, a perfect law, but a law we cannot keep. And so it condemns us. We're condemned to death. But, Father, you don't leave us there. You give us a new, beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus in this tabernacle. The means of salvation, the shedding of blood. And we set this whole building upon a foundation of silver. Thank you, Father. Just guide and lead us through this study now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A half a shekel is about 35 cents. And so, as it says, the rich can give no more, the poor can give no less. Everyone has to be a part of it. And if you do not give this half of shekel, then you have no part of the tabernacle. If you have no part of the tabernacle, then you have no part of salvation. Silver in the Word of God always speaks of the blood. It speaks of the atoning power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. So in those two scripture verses that we've read, the first one we find back in chapter 30 there, where they are to give a half a shekel after the number, every person that's 20 years old and up, that no plague would come upon them. That no plague would come upon them. David forgot that. There's a lot of confusion why David in 2 Samuel and then in 1 Chronicles, 2 Samuel chapter 24 and 1 Chronicles chapter 21 is the same story. There's a lot of questions why David decided to number the people. And some believe that he did it incorrectly by numbering those under the age of 20. Some believe that he just decided that he wanted to know the number. Why do you number strong men? You number them because you want to know the size of your army. You want to know how that you can go against an enemy. The Lord had clearly told David that you never number the people without collecting a half a shekel of silver. And it's clear as you study through the scripture that God did not tell him to number those people. So it was David's idea. We should never do anything that the Lord doesn't tell us to do. And so in light of that then, why 70,000 men died. 70,000 men died. I had forgotten, and I spend more time a lot of times going when I start something like that, then you go back because you kind of forget the story. You forget what took place. I had forgotten that God gave David three choices. I'd forgotten that. He says, you know, famine for 3 years, or 3 months to be defeated by the enemy, or 3 days of pestilence. God said, David, you choose. You have done something you weren't supposed to do. Now I'm giving you the penalty. 3 years, 3 months, 3 days. Which do you want? You think about that. Which would you prefer? Would you want 3 years of famine? Yeah. How about 3 months that you couldn't win a battle? I don't like that. 3 days of famine or of pestilence. Yeah. Got to be better than the rest of them. That's what he chose. That's what he chose. 3 days of pestilence and 70,000 men died. 70,000 men died. You know, we don't need to depend upon man, we need to depend upon God. And then that took me back to Judges chapter 7. Now, who is there? Gideon. I love this story. And it reminds us who we should depend on. Do not depend upon your own works and your own strength. But back in Judges chapter 7, Gideon was about to go up against the Midianites and the Amalekites. And if you want to know the number of them, we have the number is as the grasshoppers of the field. That's how many he said was there. And he also said the camels were as the sand of the sea. They had so many camels. And so I love this because here he came. He had 22,000 men. He had 10,000 left after he said, if you're afraid, are you scared? 12,000 of them left because they were afraid to go to battle against this great army. But you know what God said? That's too many. That 10,000, that's too many because they will take the credit. And you see, that's kind of what David did. David was prideful in that he looked across his army and says, you know what? I want to number these. I just would like to see just how many I have. I have. Anytime you begin to say I, we're all in trouble. And so he looks across all those. And if you know the story, you know what God told Gideon to do. He said, you take everybody down to Waterhole. Those that lap like a dog in getting a drink versus those that kneel down and cup their hand and drink like you and I would. We take water, would drink it. Those that lap like a dog, I want them. You know what I may end up with? 300. Now God says, let's go fight. Let's go take them Midianites and Amalekites. A number that you couldn't count. God says, now the side's even, and I'm still going to win. Now, who do you want on your side? You know, that's what happens to me when I'm studying. I get going down what they call a rabbit track. I get to going here and I get to going there because I love the Word of God and I love to be reminded of the power of God. David here, he made the mistake, cost him 70,000 men. 70,000. And Gideon, he was told, okay, now it's time. But Gideon was a little skittish. And so, through a servant, he snuck him into the camp. And he heard the Midianites and the Amalekites saying, we've had a dream. And that dream tells us that we're going to be defeated. That's all Gideon had to hear, that they feared them. He went back home and they took him. No problem. So you see, if God's on your side, and so we've got to do it God's way. We can't decide that we want to have this kind of religion. No, we've got to do it God's way. And God has set up for us and given us this picture of this tabernacle to help us walk each day. But he did not build this tent-like building. And we'll spend some time with the outer walls there over down on chapter 26. They're 15 foot tall and 1.25 wide. You've heard me read, as we've read some of the scripture, It's a strange measurement. It's not in inches. I was reading an article the other day, and it's a monstrous combine that they've just built. And they said the capacity of the bin and the combine is so many liters. I want to know how many bushels. I don't want to know how many liters. Liters didn't mean anything to me. And so I guess we're all in trouble. What did God use as his measuring stick for this tabernacle? What do you use? What is that? And what is that? Huh? A cubit. Now, somebody had to be that cubit, because if I measure from here to here on you, that may be a little different than me, and the building wouldn't be very square and right. And so somebody had to be the cubit, and so it just had to be there, because approximately 18 inches. And that's what they measured everything with. But as we look at the foundation that this thing was set upon, we have read from chapter 30 and from chapter 38 what they did with collecting this half a shekel of silver. The purpose was, number one, God told them at that time to number the men and keep a half a shekel, 35 cents each person had to give if you're going to participate. Because, you see, everybody had to have part in the precious blood of Christ. And the only way that you're ever saved is if you accept that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and shed his precious blood. There was 100 blocks, 100 pounds each. 100 pounds each, and there was 100 of them. This building moved. God resided in the Holy of Holies in that last square. He would raise up out of there, Shekinah glory cloud, cloud by day, fire by night. He would raise up and stand before the camp, and they would tear everything down. And once they've got it all taken to pieces and all loaded up, then the Shekinah glory cloud would begin to move, would go to another location. And when it stopped, then they would come and put it all back together again and begin once again to worship the Lord. And there was 100 of these 100. The sidewalls, again, 15 foot high and 2 1/4. And each one of these gold, acacia wood overlaid with gold, had little bars, and they would sit down in to these sockets. So everything was bound together all the way around. And this whole building is set upon the foundation of the silver. There's nothing touching this ground. Now, we read on in chapter 38, and I wanted to for the reason, because the gate, the veil, right here, these posts that support the veil is brass. Everything else is silver all the way around. And this gold walls all the way around. And in here, the inner one, it told us, they are of silver. But here, they are brass. Because we're still in the world. And we come in for that fellowship. And the whole building is supported on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand, there's always judgment, there's always learning, there's always the flesh. And I believe that that's the reason that the entryway here was of brass and not of silver. But everything, and there are 100 of those blocks that hold this building up. Now, understand that if it's not for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have nothing. We have nothing. We've talked about it in Sunday school. We talked about it this past Wednesday night, that is the biggest, most horrendous error that a church can make, and that is leave the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we've got to understand it's the shedding of blood that brings remission of sin. And without the shedding of blood, and Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. And that's the picture that we have right here. When they shed the blood and the sacrifice, innocent sacrifice, died at that altar. And the shedding of his blood. Now we've got a couple verses of scripture here we're going to look up. So please, look to Leviticus, not very far from Exodus. Exodus, Leviticus. Chapter 17, verse 11. If you question what I'm saying, let's look to the Word of God. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. Silver stands for the blood. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for your souls. It's always about the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's go to Hebrews, all the way to the other end of your scripture. Hebrews chapter 9. Verse 22. You can see what the high priest was told to do. If you back up just a couple of verses there. Verse 20. This is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Verse 22, almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. First Peter 1:18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot. Acts chapter 20. How a preacher could stand in the pulpit and deny the blood is beyond me. Acts 20, Verse 28. Acts 20, 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Acts 20, 28. Back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 3. Verse 11. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundations can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ, his precious blood. Just a couple more. Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. I'm sorry, 11 and 12. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither of the blood of goats and of calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkle the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve a living God. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. Chapter 10, verse 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Verse 11. Every priest standeth daily, ministering often and oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down at the right hand of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14. And by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Scripture verse after scripture verse concerning the precious blood, and the foundation of this building is set up on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope you understand the importance of the blood. I hope you understand the importance of you trusting as they trusted in the works, the offerings they were making, instead of what it represented. And I hope that you know the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that you've called upon him. I hope that you're born again. And if not, why, please trust in Jesus today. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today and just enjoy this study. It's so important, Father, that we understand the importance of your precious blood. And as we read almost the last scripture there concerning what you did, you took your blood and presented it to your Father in heaven in the Holy of Holies and says, here, I have paid the price. And so please, please, Father, touch every heart. Show each and every one of us the need of salvation. And it's through the precious shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please, that we realize and confess our sin and say, please, Father, forgive me. Save me, set me free. And then the wonderful walk begins. It's a short walk, Father, from the brazen altar to the laver. And that beautiful cleansing begins on into the feeding, on to the being on our knees in prayer, and then right, Father, to your presence. What a wonderful day and wonderful opportunity you've given us. Speak to our hearts now, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.